You probably know my next guest from his many years on Saturday Night Live, where he once played a centaur in a job interview opposite Christopher Walken. He's had guest spots on 30 Rock and Friends, and now he plays a creepy vice principal on the new ABC sitcom Misguided. On the big screen, you can see him as a card shark with no social skills in The Grand, which opens on Friday. Chris Parnell, welcome to Fair Game.
Thank you, Faith. It's nice to be here.
Thank you. Did you just hear our interview with Senator Clinton?
I did.
Do you think she can force people to love her that way?
You know, I think a lot of people love her already, and I don't know, she might be able to change some minds, you know.
So The Grand. The Grand,
yes,
is a largely improvised comedy that follows six professional poker players on the way to the final table at a high-stakes tournament, and you play Harold Melvin, who knows his poker, but I would not want to meet him on a speed date. Actually, maybe that'd be the best way to date him, would be on a speed date, wouldn't it?
Just very quickly and get it over with.
He's socially awkward, let's say. Let's listen to Harold telling us a little bit about himself.
One thing I would like to talk about is the Mentats from the motion picture Dune. I like the Mentats because they're the human computers. The Mentat oath is the following: it is by will alone I set my mind in motion. It is by the juice of Sappho that thoughts acquire speed. The lips acquire stains. The stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion. I say the Mentat oath before I drink my brain juice because it makes me feel like a Mentat.
Chris, is the juice of Sappho really a line in Dune?
It really is.
It's so evocative.
That whole thing is real. Brad Dourif's character says it.
So Harold lives with his mom, and he seems to be kind of high-functioning autistic fellow. And his mom makes a vague reference to his syndrome.
Yes.
Why is he so odd?
Well, I mean, he sort of roughly has a, you know, Asperger's. He's somewhere, you know, on that end of the autistic spectrum. I think they originally didn't want to define it too much, you know, didn't want to offend anybody, but I don't think it's an offensive portrayal.
Mm-mm.
And you know, so it's, yeah, I mean, but that's kind of what he is.
I'm gonna go with the sort of conventional actory question. Did you research,
sure,
this? Like, did you look at autistic people and get inspiration from them?
Somewhat. The producers for The Grand sent me Word Wars and Spellbound, and a couple of the characters in there, one of the kids in Spellbound and one of the adult players in Word Wars, I've sort of looked at to study, because I don't know what they had. I don't know if they were Asperger's patients or what, but they sort of provided some inspiration. And then I read this book, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, by, I believe the author's name is Mark Haddon, and that was amazing because it's told from the point of view of a boy who has Asperger's. So that was a great sort of entryway into that way of seeing the world. And then a more clinical book I looked at a little bit, but it was mostly the Curious incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Now, I'm curious, as an actor, I mean, because you play this quite emotionless, and is that an easier thing to do as an actor, or is it actually harder to sort of suppress and keep a somewhat blank face?
I don't know. I think it's because it's sort of an extreme. It's easier in some ways, I guess, but when we did the final poker table and we were actually playing for real, it was, that whole thing was really hard, and it was very hard in that context to really keep the lack of emotions from showing or anything like that, because I was really nervous and anxious about that whole game. So
let's talk about that game. I mean, I mentioned the movie has a lot of improvisation, and I want to get to that process. But I did hear that this final poker showdown in the film was a real poker game with a real audience. Is that right?
Well, not a real audience. I mean, the audience was extras, but the game itself was real. Yeah, we didn't know who was going to win, and for me, I mean, you know, we weren't playing for money or anything, but for me, I wanted my character to be believable as a poker genius, and I just felt like, you know, if I get knocked out really early in this game, it's not going to help sell that reality. So thankfully, I was able to stick it out.
Another of the characters is played by Cheryl Hines, who is actually a really great tournament-winning poker player in real life. Did she take it easy on you? Because I hear she trash talks.
Well, I had known Cheryl from the Groundlings, so you know, I think that sort of made things friendlier than they might have been otherwise, because Cheryl is a real monster. No, she's not. She's delightful. And she was completely you know, it was just all in character. You know, I didn't take any of it personally.
Now, I mentioned that the film has a lot of improvisation, like Curb Your Enthusiasm or Christopher Guest's film. Can you explain how that worked on this film? Because Zach Penn did write a script, right?
Well, he wrote something that he called a scriptment, mm-hmm. a combination of a script and a treatment. It was like 30 pages long, and with Matt Bierman. And so that's the, you know, that's the framework, that's the outline, and we kind of went off of that. And so that the basic... Some of the basic parts of my character were in that, just the sort of the social dysfunction and all. But, you know, that you would start a scene and you would kind of go through it with an idea of what you wanted to get out of it and then kind of do it again and sort of maybe keep some things and throw some things out and, you know, and just kind of letting it shape itself as it was being shot. But also I also cheated. I wrote a lot of my own stuff. Like, I was constantly trying to come up with jokes and things because I just didn't trust myself to be, you know, hilarious when the cameras were rolling. So
do you really
I tried
think
to come
that's
up
cheating
with,
or just kind of responsible preparation, especially for a character like yours?
I think it is. For me, it was more responsible because if I hadn't done it, I would have had so much less to say that was anywhere near interesting, you know. And then also a lot of what my character had to say were percentages, were actual, like,
right.
It was actual math that our resident poker professional, Andy Newman, he came up with those numbers so that they would be accurate. And there was, because there was no way I could improvise that, you know. So.
Did you improvise, like, that scene we just heard, the Dune stuff? Or was that in the script that he was a quoter of Dune?
No, that was the Dune. All the Dune stuff was mine because Chris Parnell, loved Dune. And what you learn the more you talk to me about this is how much I am just like the character, kind of socially dysfunctional and all of that. But no, I already knew that quote because I don't go around saying it, but I did know it because I love Dune. I'm not ashamed of that. I love that dare not speak its name.
You mentioned the Groundlings that you were in with Cheryl Hines. Did it
yes.
feel great to get back to your improv roots doing this?
It was fun, you know. It was. I feel so rusty at it. Like I haven't been on stage doing improv in years and years and years. And it's very intimidating to me mm-hmm. now. It's less so in front of a camera, you know. But I think, you know, when you do it in front of a camera, I mean, I think you can find all kinds of stuff. Obviously, they do on with the Christopher Guest movies and Curb Your Enthusiasm and I think with The Grand. But, you know, it's got to be funny or it's got to move the story ahead, because if you're watching in a little theater and somebody comes up with something brilliant, you know it happened right there. But in a movie, it's like the fact that it's improvised, I think, has only a limited value. You know, it's still got to be funny and tell the story.
Did you create any characters in The Groundlings that made it into SNL sketches?
I don't think I did. I tried. I tried with a number of characters when I first got on SNL, and none of them quite made it. I got to dress rehearsal a few times with some characters, but never made it to air.
Now, one of the most famous and most viral SNL sketches in the last few years is the Lazy Sunday Wrap with you and Andy Samberg. And I don't think it's too early to call that a classic. Let's listen to a little bit.
Lazy Sunday, wake up in the late afternoon. Call Parnell just to see how he's doing.
Hello,
what up, Parn?
Yo, Samberg, what's crackin'?
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Party up!
Man, it's happening.
But first, my hunger pains are sticking like duct tape.
Let's hit up Magnolia and back on some cupcakes.
No doubt that bakery's got all the Bob Frosty.
I love those cupcakes like McAdams loves Gosling.
Gosling,
Gosling.
So that digital short kind of made SNL cool again with the kids. Did you have any sense when you were doing that it was going to blow up?
No, not at all. You know, it was such a such a little thing, the way it was made. It was so intimate. I mean, it was just Andy and Yorma and Akiva and me, you know, writing it and recording it and shooting it. And then Akiva went off and edited it. And then I didn't even know it had become this big thing. And I was home in Memphis for Christmas, and I got a call from the NBC publicist saying the New York Times wanted to interview me. And I was like, what? You know? He said, oh, yeah, there are T-shirts and things about this. And it was mind-blowing.
You mentioned Memphis, which is where you grew up, and you were acting like in high school, right?
I was, yeah. I started acting at actually SBEC, but then I went to Germantown High School, and that's when I really got serious about acting and decided that's what I wanted to do.
And your dad, I understand, was a commercial voiceover actor when you were growing up?
Yeah, he still is. He's a voiceover guy.
Like full-time? He makes his living there?
Yeah. He does. He was a disc jockey and program director and all kinds of things when I was a kid, but has always been a voiceover guy. And so now he's been doing that for a living, for just doing that for years and years.
Did you used to tag along with him when you were a little kid?
Sometimes, yeah. I would sometimes go up and he would give me like tape duplication jobs or things like that, and I'd go up to the studio and stuff. It was fun.
So after college, I understand you went back to your high school in Germantown, or was the high school called Germantown?
Yeah, well, it's in Germantown, and it's Germantown High School.
Oh, that's convenient. So you went back there and taught, kind of like Mr. Cotter?
I did a little bit. I did for 1 year, and I was not cut out for it, I have to say. I mean, I loved all the extracurricular stuff. It's an amazing school. They have this incredible theater program run by this amazing man, Frank Bluestein, and they have this great television studio. And so I loved working with all the kids, like on all that stuff, after the bell rang. But the actual day-to-day being a teacher just takes such a special person. I mean, you have to be so giving and patient And you have to, you know, you have to care so much about other people. I think I'm too selfish, Faith. Honestly,
is that why you make a really good creepy vice principal on TV? Because you don't really care about the kids.
Maybe that could be.
So you did on Misguided, on this new ABC high school sitcom, you play this vice principal Bruce Terry. Did you base Bruce on anyone from your high school?
I didn't actually. No, it all came out of the script. I mean, the script painted the character pretty clearly for me, and I mean, I found it as we went along, but no, I don't, not consciously anyway.
There's an episode where a high school blogger posts supposedly gay pictures of you, I guess, coaching wrestling, and eventually you make the blogger post some of your own pics to prove how not gay you are. Will you please describe some of those pictures, your outfits and such?
Well, one of them is me in a very fetching leather outfit on a motorcycle, looking pretty seductive, I think. One is me in a flowing white blousy shirt on horseback riding alongside the ocean.
Oh, I thought it was a unicorn.
Was it a unicorn?
I thought it was a unicorn. I'm sorry, that's just my fantasy. I'm sorry.
Well, hey, bring your fantasies to the table, Faith. I want to hear them.
Get my juices of Sappho flowing. Go ahead.
I think I actually mispronounced it. It's Sapphu, I believe, for all the Dune fans out there. And what else? What's the other one? Oh, a construction worker.
All not gay.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Finally, Chris, you did a mean John McCain when you were on SNL.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. You're welcome. What's the trick to John McCain? He may be our next president. What's the trick to a good John McCain?
I don't know. I tried to find this scratchiness in his voice. I haven't done it in so long; it would be disastrous to try. But I think Daryl Hammond is doing him now, and doing a fine job of it. I mean, Daryl is a genius. So
you're so humble. Yeah. We're ending your interview with a compliment to Daryl Hammond, which he is good, but still
he is. He is. Well, I know. Low self-esteem.
He doesn't ride a unicorn in my fantasies, Chris Parnell. How's that for you?
You made my day. My year.
Oh, good. Thank you for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for letting me. I just want to say how much I enjoyed you on Significant Others.
That's so nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Chris Parnell co-stars in The Grand, opening April 4th. You can also see him on Misguided, which airs Thursdays on ABC. To learn more about Chris and his projects, go to our website, morefairgame.org.